Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Well, I don't like doing this very much, but we prayed about it, and we've just asked God to be with me this morning. One thing before I get started, that one of the songs we sang this morning, Word of God Speak, just want to go over some of those words real fast. It says, I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, that's okay. Any of you who know me know I don't have a problem talking to anybody, but getting up here terrifies me, and I don't know what to say. The song goes on to say, the last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. And that's true. Nobody needs to know the words that come out of me. What we need to know is the words that come from God. The song says, Word of God speak, pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak. And that's what I want this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, I come before you today and I ask that you would just speak through me, that not my words would be heard, but your words, that your words would be there to comfort and to help people through their times of trials, and that it would just be a blessing to everyone who hears them. We love you so much, and I ask for your anointing this morning. I give you praise and glory in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, of course, it's Mother's Day, and we wish everybody a happy Mother's Day. I don't so much want to talk about Mother's Day today, but I do want to talk a little bit about the bond or parallel between the bond that mothers or parents, because I'm not going to get into the debate between who's better, moms or dads, because you know what? They're both very important. That's why God set it up that way. And we need to have a good relationship with both mothers and fathers and their children. But I want to look at a parallel between parents and their children and the relationship between us as Christians and our Heavenly Father. We all remember that first day when our babies were born. Oh, how excited we were, and we brought them home for the first time. They were so precious. They were so cute. Nobody had a better, cuter baby than we did. Our babies smiled bigger. They smiled earlier. They held their bottle sooner. They walked sooner. They walked better. They rolled over better. They did everything better. We were so proud. Isn't it wonderful, though, to know that not only do we find that great pride in our children, but God, when he looks at us, he's filled with that same joy and pride that we have when we look at our children. It doesn't matter if our children are brand new babies or if they're grown. We still, every time we look at them, our heart swells with that joy and that pride. And no matter what, every time God looks at us, he feels that same way. 1 John 3:1 says, See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And I love the wording in the NIV translation here. It says, See what great love the Father has lavished on us. Lavish. That word means to bestow something in generous or extravagant quantities upon someone. It can also mean luxurious, opulent, or costly. And how blessed are we that the Father of all things, our Heavenly Father, loves us so much that despite our imperfections, he loves us extravagantly in spite of the cost. And if we think about it, our salvation was very costly. God loved us so much, even in our sin, that he sent his son Jesus to die that we might be able to be called children of God. We love our children without measure, but could we knowingly sacrifice one child to save the others? I'm really glad we don't have to make that choice, but how wonderful that God loves us that much. He loves us, and he is proud to call us his. We've all seen the pictures of the mom and dad at the sporting event or the play or dance recital. And they're sitting there and they go, that's my son. That's my daughter. They are so proud. My son just made the touchdown, everybody. That's my son. That's my son. He just hit the home run. My daughter, look, she's the best dancer up there. You know, my daughter, she's the best singer up there. Listen to her in the choir. It doesn't matter if they are the best or the worst. As a parent, we go, that's my child, and I'm so proud of them. And every time God looks at us, he says, that's my child, and I'm so proud of them. I'm thankful that no matter what I do, God looks at me every time. He says, that's my child, and I'm so proud of them. Doesn't mean we have to be perfect, because we know we're not. Just like we know when we look at our children, we know, and we know not to expect them to be perfect. We know our children will not be perfect. They're going to make mistakes. We would never require them to be perfect to earn our love and our admiration. We know that's just not going to happen. They're going to make mistakes, because that's part of life, and it's part of growing up. We know that in the beginning you can't feed your baby a steak because they can't handle that. First thing they need is milk. Then after that they get cereal. Then after that they get the mushed up little veggies and fruit. Then they can get some little soft bits of food, and then they can get the more solid, and they just progress that way. And the Bible tells us it's the same process that we as Christians go through when we're growing in the faith. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So just like babies have to follow this path to grow and to learn, we have to do the same thing to grow and to learn about the things of God, little bits at a time. And when we're more mature in the faith, God reveals more to us. And we know that just like we know our children are not going to be perfect and they're going to make mistakes, as Christians, we're going to make mistakes too. We will screw up. It doesn't matter if you're one or you're 99 or you're 199. You're going to make a mistake on occasions. As Christians, we'll find ourselves acting in the wrong spirit. We'll find that we lose our temper when we shouldn't. We may tell a lie. Whatever it is that we do, we screw up and we go, oh, I screwed up, God. At some point in our walk with God, we're going to have to say, I messed up. Does that mean that God says, that's it, I'm done. Wash my hands of you. I don't want to look at you no more. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Of course not. We wouldn't do that with our children. Our kids say, Mom, I'm so sorry I broke your vase. Dad, I'm so sorry I broke your favorite drill or whatever, your tool. I didn't mean to. I was just playing with it. You know, when I was a kid, I set the kitchen on fire. My parents didn't disown me. They said, it's okay. And I was scared to death. I thought, oh, my God, they're going to kill me. But they didn't kill me. They said, it's okay. That's what insurance is for. We're going to work it out. And God does that. He would never wash his hands of us. He would never give up on us. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So not only does he forgive us, but as Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. The Bible tells us that he forgives us our sins and he refreshes us. Sometimes we are so hard on ourselves, we screwed up. Yes, that's bad. But then the devil gets in our head and he picks at it and he torments us. And he keeps bringing up those past misdeeds and saying, you're not good enough. God's not going to love you for that. You can't be a good Christian because you made that mistake. In Psalms 103, 8 through 13, we read, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So even though the devil may want to bring us down by reminding us of our past sins, if we've brought them before the Father, he doesn't even remember them anymore. And he doesn't want to torment us with our sins. He wants to forgive us, and he wants to love us. He wants to refresh us and give us comfort. When our kids are down, something bad happened at school, somebody said something to them, whatever situation, when they're feeling sad, as parents, we want to cheer them up. As they say, we want to turn that frown upside down. We want to be silly, be goofy, whatever it takes to make them feel better. That's what we want to do. We just want to bring comfort to our hurting children. God also desires to comfort us when we are hurting. Isaiah 66:13 says, "As a mother comforts her son, so will I comfort you." We know that when we're facing the darkest times and when we walk in the lowest valleys, thank God we know that we don't ever have to face those things alone. We can always turn to God. We can lay our cares at his feet. We know that he wants to be with us and he wants to carry us through those difficult times. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Sometimes we just need to talk to somebody. We just need someone who's willing to listen. Sometimes we don't feel like there is a person that we can take our situation to. But God loves us. And God's always ready to listen, no matter what time of day or night. He's there, and he wants us to know that he will listen to us, that we can cast our cares on him. He says, "Throw those cares on me. I'll carry it for you. Give me your worry. Give me your anxiety. Give me your fears and your doubts. I care about you, and I want to take that burden from you." Isaiah 46:4 says, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." So we don't have to face any difficult times alone, and I think that's so wonderful. Sometimes we find ourselves in a valley, and we go, "There's nobody who can help me. I am so lost. I am so down." But that's not the fact. The fact is, if we are saved, if we are Christians, we can always look up and say, "God, thank you for being here with me, because I know you can help me get through this. It may be a struggle and it may be hard, but I know you'll carry me through it." Now, as parents, we love our children with unconditional love. We don't require anything from them. We just love them. We are thankful for the gift of God that they are to us, and we love them no matter what. But God loves us even more. He loved us before we even were. Now, no matter what we do, no matter where we go, God's going to love us. But does that mean that there are no consequences to our actions? Uh-oh, consequences. That's an ugly word, isn't it? Nobody likes that word. We all heard it when we were kids, and our kids hear it from us. "I don't care what you've done, I'll always love you, but there are consequences for your actions, and you're going to have to suffer through those consequences." Nobody likes suffering through the consequences. Consequences usually mean punishments, and punishments are not fun. But if we don't punish our kids because we want to be big bad meanies, we punish them because we love them and we want to teach them lessons. And the Bible tells us that children need discipline. Proverbs 13:24 says, "Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them." And the Bible's telling us here that if we love our children, we have to discipline them, because that's how we learn. We learn through the consequences. Sometimes just the idea of a consequence is enough to keep us all on the straight and narrow. But sometimes we need that discipline to help us to learn right from wrong. Hebrews 12:5-8 says, "And have you completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father?'" So because God loves us, he sometimes allows us to suffer the consequences of our actions, just as we as parents do with our own children. And sometimes those consequences can be painful. But the good thing is that we know no matter what we do, no matter what consequence we have to suffer through, God's there with us. He's told us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So even in those hard times, and even when we bring it on ourselves, he's still there walking beside us. And he loves us, and he is proud of us, and he is cheering us on. We serve a loving God who not only loves us, but he wants to comfort us, and he wants to help us through difficult times. And always when he looks at us, he's looking down with a father's pride. If you don't know God the Father today, and you want to have him look down at you and say, "That's my child, and I'm so proud of them, and I love them," it's very simple. All you have to do is say a simple prayer, asking him to be your heavenly Father. Just tell him, "Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross and rise again and pay the price for my salvation. The debt's already paid, so there is no reason to walk away and not enjoy that wonderful gift of salvation and enjoy the pleasure of being called a child of God. If you already know God, but you feel like sometimes you've let him down, got to remember, don't beat yourself up about it. We're going to make mistakes. Just reach out to God and tell him, "I'm sorry, Lord, I screwed up again." Doesn't matter that you screw up all the time. If you turn your heart to him and say, "God, I did it again, and I'm so sorry," and you really mean it in your heart, and you go out and you try not to do it again, he's going to forgive you for that. Remember, the Bible's told us that he is faithful and just to forgive us. He wants to be your father, and he wants you to be his child. And all we have to do is accept his love. Precious Heavenly Father, I just worship you this morning. I thank you for your love. I thank you that you loved me so much that you made a choice to sacrifice your son so that you could call me your child. And I thank you that you loved each and every one of us here with that great love. That you look down on us, not with displeasure, but with pride and with an excitement in your heart that, "That's my child, that's my son, that's my daughter, and I love them so much." I thank you for that this morning, Father God. As a mother, I know the pride and joy that I feel when I look at my children, and I'm so blessed by those gifts that you have given me. And I'm so excited to know that same pride and joy that I feel, you feel towards me. It's such a blessing that I can never repay, that you don't even ask us to repay. I ask you this morning, Father God, that if there is someone who doesn't know you, or if there's someone who feels that they have let you down, that you would just minister to their heart. Let them know that you love them and that you want them to be your child. And let them know that no matter what they do, they can never make you not love them. That you are always going to be there waiting for them with open arms and a heart full of a father's pride and joy. And we give you thanks this morning. And we just ask that you would have your will in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.